Hey there, welcome back to the Mastering Social Media for Schools podcast. I'm Andrea, your host, and this show is brought to you by socialschool4edu.com. Have you hit the subscribe button yet? And if you've listened to a few episodes, we would just love a review. Now, today's episode, we're talking to Carla Pereira out of the Peel School District School Board, and she has amazing insights. She's going to walk us through their social media journey. Can you believe they have 185,000 Twitter followers? That's amazing. And they've been doing Twitter for a long time. She's going to share how they actually moved from social media being more of a one-way communication tool to a two-way communication tool. And of course, that involved snow days, which I can relate to here in Wisconsin. She's going to talk about how social media is really about being human and talk about how they were actually able to bring that into a school district channel and how they've learned to use that. And she's also going to jump into Instagram stories. That is the place to connect with students. There's some simple strategies that she's going to share to communicate what they want to know about and talk about. And it's really valuable. So I'm so excited for you to listen in. Don't forget, we always have a quick tip. And today's quick tip is going to be all about responding to some negativity, which we also talk a little bit about in our interview. So let's get started. I'm Andrea Gribble, a Wisconsin mom who got laid off from her corporate career and jumped into entrepreneurship, not knowing exactly where that road might lead. I'm a natural-born cheerleader who discovered a way to cheer on schools through the power of social media. Turns out, social media isn't easy. I had to figure out what I was doing, and now I'm here to teach you everything I've learned. The Mastering Social Media for Schools podcast gives you simple, actionable strategies to celebrate your students and connect your communities through the power of social media. Join me as I pick the brains of experts across the country to bring you the best tips and tricks to make your school social media shine. Today's K-12 PR tip is all about responding to negative comments online. You're putting yourself out there. You're putting your school out there. There's going to be times when people maybe don't agree with what you have shared, and they're going to voice those opinions. We have a really helpful guide to responding online, and sometimes it might mean not responding at all. Sometimes some of your followers will actually come to your defense. And in today's episode, Carla's going to talk about some of those times, not only people, but like some of your own students. So sometimes you let it stand and they're going to come to your defense. But it can be nerve-wracking to have things not so great out there. Let this guide, it's a free guide, it's in the show notes, you can download it, and it's really helpful to share with your staff members of just knowing when to respond, maybe when to take it offline, and then when to maybe take some additional steps like hiding some comments or potentially even blocking some users, which we've had to do in very rare circumstances. But you need to tell your story. It's 99% of the time, the feedback is going to be amazing. But for those times when it's not so great, grab that guide, and that's really going to help you. Now let's get into our interview with Carla Pereira. Welcome back to another episode of Mastering Social Media for Schools. Very excited to bring the first Canadian guest, Carla. Welcome to the show. If you could introduce yourself to our listeners, that would be awesome.
Sure. I'm Carla Pereira, and I'm the Director of Communications for the Peel District School Board in Mississauga, which is about 30 minutes from Toronto. And that's, I guess, the most popular city in Canada. Most people know where that is. So that's where our district is located.
Awesome. And sometimes, Carla, people say I sound like I'm from Canada. but now they're going to be able to at least compare the accents. So that'll be really good. I've followed you for a while. You guys are doing great things in Peel. You have a very unique setup, and nobody else can complain after they hear a little bit about how your school board, your district is all set up. So if you could explain that, that'd be really helpful.
Yeah, you mean geographically? Like,
or that and the size and the scope.
Okay, so we have, we cover three municipalities, Brampton, Caledon, and Mississauga, and we serve 157,000 students, and we have approximately 20,000 employees. We are located in a suburb, again, just outside of Toronto, and we have a, you know, a good sized team, given that we have 157,000 students, but it's still a small team when you consider how many we've got.
And how long have you been with Peel?
I've been with Peel for 17 years, so a long time.
And what's your background? Were you in school PR before you started with Peel? Or
so when I went to college, I volunteered with the board for a couple of days a week, and did that for 2 years. Then I went to work at an agency doing consumer marketing, and I had, you know, toy clients and pharmaceutical clients and that kind of thing. And I was there for 4 years, and then I a position opened up at the board, and I applied, and here I am.
That's awesome. It's very interesting as a mom of I've got six kids. I know you've got two kids there, that you're like kind of interning or whatever when you're going to college,
yeah,
transferred into a potential job.
Yeah. I don't think I'd be where I am today if I didn't volunteer. And I took that upon myself. So it wasn't a school internship. It was, I just had a couple of days free and decided that I needed some experience, and worked out. Yeah.
And you didn't get paid. It was just volunteer.
No. Yep. And you know what? I had the privilege to be able to do that. So very fortunate. But yeah, so.
That is awesome. I love that. And I bet you learned so much just while you were there. Now, over the 17 years, you know, mm-hmm. social media wasn't the same back 17 no. years ago. You weren't even on any social media back when you first started, I would imagine.
Yeah, no, we were getting good news by fax. So that's actually how I started my job at the board, is I used to sit beside the fax machine, and it would go off. And when it would go off, up would come a sheet of paper with, you know, a news release questionnaire with some good news activity that a school had run. So that's, and then I would sit there and type up a news release about a fundraiser. And now, you know, we retweet that stuff. So, and share it very, very differently. And the speed at which we share is so much faster. So yeah, a little different.
That is amazing. I still laugh when I see fax numbers on people. I'm like, really? Do people still use those? Yeah. So obviously there's been a journey at Peel with social media. Could you just kind of walk us through kind of that whole adoption? Because I'm going to share some numbers. You guys are killing it now in regards to, you know, the sheer number of followers that you have, but it obviously didn't start out that way. So if you can just kind of share that journey.
Yeah, so we started off with a Twitter page, and we used it primarily to push out information. So really all it was a, you know, we sharing our news releases online and or via Twitter. And that would be just another way to do one-way communication. And a few years into that, so I'd say maybe about 3 or 4 years into that, we had a snowstorm, and we were home, and kids were asking us about a snow day, and it became a fun way to engage with students online. And we thought to ourselves, maybe there's an opportunity to engage a student audience that we've never been able to engage before, you know, from the board office. Different if, you know, you're in front of them every day, but a little bit more different to do corporately. And so we did that, and it was a lot of fun. And we were just human. And so the responses we got were very positive. And so we kept doing that, and we shifted our practice to being one way to being two-way communication. And we would respond to questions. We would have fun with it. We would, again, we humanize the space, and we take the same approach on Facebook. We do respond to most comments and questions we get on Facebook. And we do the same on Instagram. Instagram, in fact, is our number one way to currently reach out to students. So those are the three platforms we use most frequently.
Okay. And then you have a YouTube page as well, yeah, where you put some YouTube. I love that the interaction started with snow days, because obviously in Wisconsin and Minnesota, we have a lot of snow days. Those still garner some of the most attention. Will you please call it off, or, you know, or don't call it off, or whatever. But
yeah.
And then you talk about something important, which is social media isn't just about one-way communication.
Yeah, not
it is. It's two-way communication, but some people are a little bit afraid of that, Carla. So can you talk us through like how that adoption rate went at Peel? Like, was it something very natural, or did it take some time to get that human side to the district accounts coming across and communicating back?
Yeah. So we started with, we took baby steps, and you have to enter the space comfortably, right? You dip your toe in, you test it out, and you keep dipping more of your foot in to see how far you can go. We are always in the space mindful that we are modeling behavior for students and for others in the community that we want them to see, and we want to be respectful. And so we do that. So the approach that we've always taken on social media is that we respond to as much as we can within a limit, because we also don't have staff who work 24/7. We don't have a monitoring service. We're not robots. We have families. And so we need to be mindful that we ourselves need to engage in self-care, and our well-being is critical too. So, but for the most part, especially in times of when there are a lot of questions, like, for example, a pandemic, what does that mean? What about my marks? What's happening to exams, prom, graduation, all of those things? Our philosophy has always been, if you were on the end of the question asker, how quickly would you want a response back? And 24 hours, 48 hours isn't a good, response time for us. And so we try as much as possible to get back to people as quickly as we can, or to refer them to someone who can answer their question faster than we can.
Yeah, absolutely. And you shared that, throughout this pandemic, which, this is going to air on Monday, this coming Monday. So it's it's very quick. You shared that you used Instagram to help answer some of those student questions. So can you just describe how you used Instagram to do that?
So I'm just going to give a shout out to the awesome people that I work with, because they're super creative when it comes to engaging students. They're closer to the demographic than I am these days. And so they are, they have really innovative kind of ways to get those questions answered. And so basically they use Instagram stories quite a bit to ask for input, to do polling, to, what's your question? Let us answer it. And then what we take is we collate all of those questions. And most kids have the same questions. They just ask them in very different, in different ways. And so what we come up with is an FAQ. So, most frequently asked questions, maybe it's 10. And then each of those becomes a separate graphic and a separate post for us during this time. And it really has worked very well for us. And so that's something that they do and run with. The team does very, often, and it works quite well.
Yeah. And I just want to say, I'm looking at your page right now, Instagram, you have 39,000 followers on Instagram.
Yeah. Most of them are students. Yeah.
And that's incredible. How long have you been doing Instagram? Do you know? Has it been about 3 years or so?
Yeah, maybe a little bit longer, but we haven't. The thing with social media and your comfort level is that you get better at it, right? And you get better at engaging students and staff in the on these platforms, and you get to you grow with it, and they grow with you, and you find out what. And you've got to always be looking at what is actually working. So, if we asked a bunch of questions and didn't get any responses, then we probably wouldn't do that again. We'd work on a different way. We'd adjust our strategy. But, students are willing and want to share their questions with us. They want to share their artwork with us. They want to share their music with us. It's quite incredible, because, part of it is they want to be Instagram famous. And so they know that they can use our account to, make themselves that. And the only watch out for us is that we have to always be mindful that kids have consent, parental consent, before we share anything. So that's one of the pieces that we are super careful about. We recently shared a video of a student in grade 4 performing a song, and it was beautiful, but we had to make sure that her mom was okay with us and her dad was okay with us sharing that information or that performance with the world, really. So yeah, it was, it's an interesting platform because it does actually, for us anyway, it works really well.
Yeah. And you got to jump in and you got to try it. And you're right. You surround yourself with people maybe a little bit younger than us. Although, you know, I still think we're pretty cool, Carla. You know, we've certainly learned a lot, but we didn't grow up with it. And a lot of the folks maybe like in your department have. Yeah. I just got to give a shout out because I shared that video of her singing Rise Up on my Facebook page today. Oh, awesome. I'm a huge Rachel Hollis fan, and I went to her Rise conference in person before the pandemic started back in January. And that song is just very moving to me. And the fact that she dedicated it to, you know, all of the people, you know, working frontline. Yeah. And it's national, I think it's national, or I don't know if it's International Nurses Day. And so the recognition of that is really powerful. So you've got about almost 40,000 on Instagram. You've got 40,000 Facebook followers. You've got 185,000 followers on Twitter, which maybe makes sense because you've had that channel the longest.
Yeah. And also because, you know, we're a fairly big district, right? So if we had 2,000 kids, we wouldn't, you know, generate that many followers. But the most interesting thing about our follower count on Twitter is that when students graduate from Peel, they don't stop following us, which is really a testament to the connection that they've built with the account. Whether or not they mute us, I don't know, but they certainly don't unfollow. So that's kind of nice to see. And we are in a fairly large, you know, population dense community. So we do have, you know, a lot of folks who are interested in what the board is up to. So
yeah. So now I have a question because, again, I come from a district of 300 students, K-12. You know, I graduated with 32 kids in my class. So and that was a big class at that. You have this big district presence. You must have social media channels within each of the schools as well. How does that all look, and how is your department connected to that?
So it's more organic. So we don't mandate that schools run or have social media accounts. The choice to do that is completely voluntary. And so many of them, almost, I would say close to, I'd say 98%, 99% of our schools have a Twitter account. I'd say a handful have a Facebook account, and somewhere in between have Instagram accounts, maybe, you know, more high schools, because that's how you reach the secondary student population. So I'd say that's about the breakdown for us, but we don't manage the accounts centrally because it's just impossible. They don't have the staff power to do that. But we do offer guidance. So for example, if a school wanted to start up their own social media accounts and they wanted to know what they should be doing and what types of things they should be posting and just the mechanics of it, we do provide that level of support to administrators or to the individuals who would be running the accounts. The challenge sometimes with that is that, you know, you might have a teacher who's in charge of doing it at a particular school, then that teacher leaves and their voice leaves with them. And so what you want to make sure is that there's some consistency when, you know, the management of the tool is transitioned to someone else. So that's one of the things that we're mindful of.
Okay. That's really interesting because, you know, we, especially in small districts, really believe in having that district-wide presence because it's easier to manage in all those individual schools. You don't shy away. You obviously let them, but you don't mandate it, which I think is powerful. And then you give them the tools to be successful. But yeah, I think the hard part is when you have a Facebook page and it hasn't been posted on in 2 years, or you have a Twitter account and nobody knows the login information, right? That gets to be challenging. So we are still in a pandemic. You in Canada are shut down for the rest of the school year?
No, right now in Ontario, some provinces have made different decisions. So in Ontario, we are currently closed until at least May 31st. And so we anticipate another announcement. Most of us can't see us reopening. However, in Quebec, which is the province next to us, they reopen like next week or something. So, and I don't know what that's going to look like. It's a bit of a scary situation, and it's optional for parents to send their children, but I don't think we'll be there in Ontario, but who knows? I don't know yet.
And when does your school year typically get done?
End of June.
Oh, okay. So a lot of ours are end of May or real early June. And so it wouldn't really make sense for us to go back, but you almost have another month left.
We have another month, but when you think about it, like restarting a system, it takes time. And, you know, if we find out next week, I don't know if we'll have the ability to even reopen in that small, short period of time. But anyway, we'll see what happens. We're waiting for the government.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And that's all we can do, right? We can just live day to day, and it's, and you've had to be rapid response. Some of the unique ways you're using social media during the pandemic, obviously it has been a time to push out a lot of information, get questions answered, but keeping people connected, that's really, you know, kind of what I've seen. The shift is we just need to keep these people connected. You had an amazing post from your strings program. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah. So we had a teacher, her name is Nicole Marquez from Central Peel Secondary School. She shared a tweet that went a little bit viral. And so she runs a regional strings program at the secondary school, at the high school. And, you know, kids are playing the cello or the violin or any stringed instrument. And so she got them to perform it all at once. And it's kind of, you know, like that Brady Bunch setup where you've got the different grid and each of the students is playing in unison, and they're playing Starships. What's the name of the song now? Oh boy. Nothing's going to stop us now. So that's what they were performing. So it got some media attention. It helped lift the spirits of a lot of people who were feeling disconnected. And it is an example of how we can, you know, stay virtually connected to one another during the pandemic.
I'm going to link a lot of things in the show notes of this episode, all of the channels that you can kind of check out from Peel, but that specific post I will link to. And they ended it really cool because she kind of like faded out the boxes and then the last girl is like waving. I just loved it. Yeah. But did that teacher know how to do all of that?
Yep. So thankfully we have some pretty tech savvy folks, and we do actually have a media support team in the board that can offer that level of support if teachers or educators or anyone really wished it on staff. But that particular staff member did that on her own. So kudos to her for the great work. Yeah.
Yeah. And it just shows you don't have to know how to do everything. As long as you allow them to kind of tell their story, then you can grab onto that and share. I'm also looking at, just shifting gears just a little bit, and some of your branding is very, very good. Obviously across the board with such a big 157,000, you know, students, profile pictures on social media, something I talk about. And it's like, I think it should be, you know, the logo and it should stay consistent. Mm-hmm. However, I wrote about you years ago because you stay consistent, but you put a twist on it. And, I'm looking at all the different versions. Can you tell me about that?
So we take some liberties with our logo to, you know, just to put it mildly. And so we've had some really fun ones. When the Blue Jays were in the, you know, doing well, or when the Toronto Raptors were doing well, we change them and we take some liberties and make some changes. When it's Thanksgiving, we sometimes turn it into a turkey. Because we have the benefit that our logo is a smile, like a face with a smile. So it's kind of easy to manipulate that way. Right now, I believe we have the stay at home kind of logo embedded into our logo. And so that's, you know, a team effort. So, you know, a bunch of folks who sit around the table thinking, how can we make this work? One of the things we do too is on the International Day of Pink, which is the day to take a stand against transphobia, homophobia, et cetera, and bullying. We make it pink. So there's, you know, those are the small little things that mean a lot to people that say, you know, I'm not invisible. I'm represented here. I matter. People are thinking about me. So those are the types of liberties we take with the logo, and they are intended to be fun, but sometimes serious, like the ones for the, you know, for the pandemic.
Absolutely. And you obviously cover a big geographic area, you have a lot of diversity in your school system. Yep. That's an understatement. Can you just describe a little bit of the languages and the...
Oh, sure. So we have, I don't know what the last census data is, but I'd say over 100 languages spoken across our district. We have a number of faiths represented. Our top languages include Punjabi, Hindi, Arabic, Gujarati, Chinese, Vietnamese, Spanish, French, et cetera. So there's a number of them. Our, the majority of our students, given our most recent student census, have a Muslim background. And so it's rich in its diversity, I'd say. So there is, you know, diversity of family, diversity of ability, diversity of family structure of, you know, are you living with two moms? Are you living with a guardian, a foster parent, two parents, a mom and a dad? So there's lots of diversity. We're very rich that way.
Yeah. And it's a strength that you guys have all embraced. And what I love is, you know, you kind of talked about the social media tip of being human, responding with kindness, hitting all the feels. But I mm-hmm. just think you guys do such a great job of embracing every single student, staff member, community, you know, that you hang your hat on that, don't you?
Well, we try to. It can be complex, this work. And, you know, what gets us through is that you do your best and we're always learning. And if there's something we've done that, you know, we could do better, we're willing to take that input and change things and change on the fly. And that's the nature of social media, is that you could put something out. Someone might say, actually, this is not, you know, representative or doesn't truly reflect my identity or our identity as a group, might you consider changing that a bit? So I think we're fortunate that we've got lots of internal equity leaders in our system and lots of faith leaders and others in our system that we rely on for support and advice. And so it works quite well. Yeah.
And you're human too. And that if you don't get it right, then you're quick to respond. Right. Yeah. And so hey, we can make things better. You're not going to bat 1,000. Just a couple more questions. In a district, especially like your size, mm-hmm. what has been one of the biggest struggles, with social media that maybe you could share?
I think part of it is helping people understand that we can't share everything, right? So you can't, if all of our schools tweeted, you know, five things a day or two things a day, if we shared each of those, you know, tweets, we would be stopped by Twitter for spamming, because it is just the volume is so much. So helping people understand that we can't share everything, that we have to be selective, and we have to ensure that we're representing the diversity in Peel, the identities represented, and that we, you know, that can certainly be a challenge, is helping people understand that. I think maybe the other challenge is always thinking that you're missing something, right? So did I miss this opportunity? You know, we've celebrated and we're honoring Diwali, but what about this? Should we have done something different here or more here or whatever? And so relying on, you know, our internal and external consultants to give us that advice is critical for us. Because, you know, we're not, you know, I'm, you know, a white Christian. And so I don't really have a background that, you know, someone else in the system has. And so to make assumptions is dangerous in this work. And, you know, so that can be challenging.
Yeah, definitely. So, and I think even in small schools, we're struggling with it right now, with recognition of, you know, this group of athletes versus this group of, you know, people that are in the music program. It doesn't get any easier there, but you've got to just kind of strike that balance and do the best you can, open, honest communication. This is going to put you on the spot a little bit too, Carla, but you've been doing this a long time. You've, you know, 17 years, and then, you know, started with Twitter. Can you share one of your most memorable social media posts from your district?
Yeah, that's easy. So we, it was again a snow day one. And I think a lot of what we did a few years ago when we started the work, you know, to engage with students on social media, is we did a lot of digital citizenship stuff. So modeling appropriate behavior online, and also asking people to be mindful of what they're sharing and posting, because it's a reflection on them. And it really is, you know, something that could be subject to student discipline. So we had many, many students who initially, not anymore, you know, and this goes back a few years, but they would say really nasty things. Like, I think the first, you know, one of the ones that kind of hit the most for me was someone wished that my mom got cancer because we didn't close schools because it was snowing outside. And that day, the day before, my mom had been diagnosed with bladder cancer. So, you know, those things, there's a saying that says, you know, you never know what someone's going through behind the screen. And so being mindful of that, I think, is an important thing to keep reminding students, that their words, matter and can affect the other person on the other side. But also, we had students step up and say, you know, you're not really being very nice right now. They're just sharing information with you. They're not the decision makers. You know, they're just the messenger. And why do you have to be this way? And so that student that spoke up, I still have his response up on my wall, because it was the first time anyone had said anything like that in our defense. And I just thought, you know, more people like that, please. And so he's actually one of the student presidents at a local university right now. And I don't talk to him anymore, but I know where he is. So his name is Daniel. So I still have Daniel's tweet up on my wall. And so that's a reminder that, you know, we're in this together and we just need to do our best. And it's okay to make mistakes, but we don't need to tear people down.
Wow, that is really powerful. Something that stuck with you as an adult. You know, you think about things sticking with students, maybe it can be just as impactful for us. Well, thank you so much, Carla. This was so helpful. Just in closing, you know, there's a lot of school PR, either full-time or part-time, or they're a admin assistant, they're a superintendent themselves trying to do social media. You know, any words that you would share with them, you know, in kind of closing?
I think that the good days and the good days outweigh the bad. And so when you're struggling with, you know, finding content that's inspiring, or whether you're struggling because you're getting some flack on a board decision, remember that you have to continue to do what you believe was your purpose for becoming a school PR person. And I think for most of us, it's to make a difference for kids. And so, you know, we continue to stand in our integrity and do what's right by the students and families that we serve, and adjust as we go. So if there's something that we haven't done that's not resonated well and not made a difference, or as much of a difference as it should have, then we can receive that input and feedback and change and make things better. But I think we need to be open learners, or learners with an open mind and an open heart. And I think that together we can really make a difference for kids, even though we're sitting behind our screens managing social media, because the power of that space is so powerful. That space is so powerful and connecting. So yeah, does that work? Does that help?
That is wonderful. That's why I end a lot of my, you know, videos and everything of keep telling those stories, because you have an endless supply at your school or district or wherever you're at. You've got this endless supply, and yes, things aren't always going to be peachy and rosy. Obviously they're not right now. A lot of things that are struggling, but those stories matter. That little video of that little fourth grader certainly lifted my spirits today. With a little tear down my cheek, because she's incredible, by the way.
Yeah.
And I'll link that in the show notes too. But I've got all of the Peel social media channels. I've got Carla's Twitter handle, so you can definitely follow her. Especially you big districts or really diverse districts, I think you'll get a lot out of following what they're doing and be able to incorporate those into your school. So thanks so much for your time, Carla. And everybody, we'll see you next week, same time, same place on the podcast. Have a great day.
Thanks.
Well, that's a wrap. Thanks so much for tuning into this episode. And if this podcast is helping you and your school with social media, could you do me a favor? Would you please leave me a review? It's going to help me help even more schools across the country. And that is my mission. Now, if you're looking for more helpful blog articles, webinars, short videos, check out my website, socialschool4edu.com. It's going to have a lot of information that can help you. And until next time, keep telling those stories.